देहारंभस्य धातुभिः यद्रच्छ हेतुना वा भवन्तो जानते यथा यद्धातुमतो ब्रह्मन् देहारंभस्य धातुभिः यद्रच्छ हेतुना वा भवन्तो जानते यथा यद्धातुमतो ब्रह्मन् देहारंभस्य धातुभिः यद्रच्छ हेतुना वा भवन्तो जानते यथा जानते यथा यद्धातुमतो ब्रह्मन् देहारंभस्य धातुभिः यद्रच्छ हेतुनः वा भवन्तो जानते यथा। माताजी, word to word translation, yat as it is. You can repeat after me. Yat as it is. Adhatumata, without being materially constituted. Brahman, O learned Brahmana. Deha, the material body. Arambha, the beginning of. Asya, of the living being. Dhatubhi, by matter. Yadrachya, without cause. Without cause accidental. Hetuna, due to some cause. Va, either bhavanta, your good self, janate, as you may know it, yatha, so you inform me. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. O learned Brahmana, the transcendental spirit soul is different from the material body. Does he acquire the body accidentally or by some cause? Will you kindly explain this, for it is known to you. Purport. Maharaj Parikshit, being a typical devotee, is not only satisfied by confirming the importance of hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam from the representative of Brahmaji by disciplic succession, but he is still more anxious to establish the philosophical basis of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is a science of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and as such, all questions that may arise in the mind of a serious student must be cleared by the statements of the authority. A person on the path of devotional service may inquire from his spiritual master all about the spiritual position of God and the living beings. From the Bhagavad Gita as well as from Srimad Bhagavatam, it is known that qualitatively the Lord and the living beings are one. The living being in the conditioned state of material existence is subjected to many transmigrations by continuous changing of the material body. But what are the causes of the material embodiment of the part and parcel of the Lord? Maharaj Parikshit inquires about this very important matter for the benefit of all classes of candidates on the path of self-realization and devotional service to Lord. Indirectly, it is confirmed that the Supreme Being, the Lord, makes no such material changes of body. He is spiritual whole, with no difference between his body and his soul, unlike the conditioned soul. The liberated living beings who associate with the Lord in person are also exactly like the Lord. Only the conditioned souls awaiting the liberation are subjected to change of bodies. How was the process first begun? In the process of devotional service, the first step is to take shelter of the spiritual master and then inquire from the spiritual master all about the process. This inquiry is essential for immunity to all kinds of offenses on the path of devotional service. Even if one is fixed in devotional service like Maharaj Parikshit, he must still inquire from the realized spiritual master all about this. In other words, the spiritual master must also be well-versed and learned so that he may be able to answer all these inquiries from the devotees. Thus, one who is not well-versed in the authorized scriptures and not able to answer all such relevant inquiries should not pose a spiritual master for the matter of material gain. It is illegal to become a spiritual master if one is unable to deliver the disciple. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuron Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaiham Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagna Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Savadetam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagna Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamsha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Shri Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Shri Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarubhyasya Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Prasharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadhi Pashatya Dishatarine Hare Krishna. Thank you all for coming here in person and thank you all for joining online as well for Srimad Bhagavatam class at Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Mandir. Before I start, I sincerely beg the blessings of all my senior God brothers and God sisters. Without their blessings, I'll not be able to deliver anything. It's not that I'm going to deliver something good, but I'm sure if I have their blessings, something can be delivered which will be useful to you and me both. So my sincere and humble request, please provide your blessings. So before we start, I would like to go a little rewind to see what has happened so far, right? So as we see this eighth chapter entitled The Questions by Parikshit Maharaj, question by King Parikshit, started on the day of Akshay Tirthiya, where our dear Prahlad Priya Prabhu gave an amazing explanation of the meaning of Akshay. And one of the highlight was when you do something good for others, and he gave a nice example of, let's say you are traveling by bus or a train, and it happened with me as well. So I was traveling by train and one pregnant lady was just standing, so of course you go and offer a seat, right? to a much needy person. So when you do that, by offering this seed, actually you are creating a permanent place in the heart of that particular person. So that's the real meaning of Akshaya, right? So very, very beautiful thing that he explained. And also I really like the point he explained about what it means to really serve. That's something you even if you don't like, specifically Arjuna did not like to fight, right? But he fought because that's how you express your true love towards somebody whom you love. And the entire class was really amazing, right? And then Sankirtan Prabhu very beautifully explained on Sunday how the attachment and the designations are nothing but created by mind itself. And he explained how Parikshit Maharaj is a king of senses. And we see that Srimad Bhagavatam is nothing but a dialogue between Sukhdev Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj. And of course, we have Asuta Goswami and the sages and things like that. But on the original set, right, we see Sukhdev Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj. They are the perfect combination, isn't it? The perfect speaker, Sukhdev Goswami, and a perfect hearer, Parikshit Maharaj. So it's such an amazing thing. And then in the end, he connected the class with Chandan Yatra, that how Chandan is created for the Lord, right? The sandalwood is grinded against the stone, and that's how the Chandan is created. So the stone remains as it is, right? But the Chandan has to get a lot of rubbing, you know. It becomes very difficult at that point in time of Chandan. But eventually the result is he gets applied on the body of the Lord. It's such an amazing aspect. But if you are stubborn like a stone, then you still remain outside of the altar. So it's a very beautiful explanation that Sankirtan Prabhu gave. And then I believe Braj Mohan Prabhu gave a very beautiful class on the six things that we get by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. The one is about amazement, auspiciousness, and then absorption, adhikar, anartha nivruti, and finally we get an ashray, which everyone is looking for. It has very beautifully explained about the six benefits of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. And then Gaurhari Prabhu, very beautiful verse, Karna Randrena, how the Srimad Bhagavatam, the nectar, enters through the ear of the hearer, and the benefit that he gets is really amazing. And the one point that really struck me, he says the determination based on devotion is very important compared to the determination based on willpower. That's a very, very emphatic point. And then he also said another very interesting point is the material body that we have is actually functioning because of the consciousness, isn't it? But then that consciousness, when it gets connected, right, when that consciousness gets connected with Krishna, then the body gets the real purpose to function in this material world. So that's the real beauty of understanding Krishna consciousness. And he explained it very beautifully. And then Srikant Krishna Prabhu, he explained about why devotees go through suffering and pain and things like that to give us a faith. Right? He gave a beautiful example of Srila Prabhupada. Let's say if he has gone by aeroplane, right, to US and preached, we wouldn't be talking so much about it, right? The matter of fact that he went by cargo ship and he suffered two heart attacks, and it's such a difficult situation for him in US and everywhere else in initial days as well. That's what gives us faith, right? And very beautifully he explained that. And now that we come to the seventh verse where Parikshit Maharaj is inquiring, saying that, O learned Brahmana, the transcendental spirit soul is different from the material body. Does he acquire the body accidentally or by some cause? Will you kindly explain this, for it is known to you? And after this is actually a rapid fire questions coming from Parikshit Maharaj. So all of us have probably seen that Bonvita quiz and other things, right? But the rapid fire question, what happens? The one question and immediately you have to answer. But it's a different type of quiz to say, where series of questions asked at once, and you are not allowed to answer as such, right? Just imagine from that angle. Why I'm bringing this point, it is very important, because right from the school days we have been taught, right, that there was a stone age, and like, you know, thousands of years ago, people did not know, they are not civilized, they were tribal or uncivilized to say, right? But this thing happens 5,000 years ago, and see the intelligence these people have, right? There were series of questions. The question is not like a general question that, you know, what is the capital of India? And then what is more famous in this particular area? Not like that. Very difficult and philosophical questions being asked in a series. And then Sukhdev Goswami will address each and every question. It's not that Sukhdev Goswami is going to ask, can you remind me what was that third question after that? Not like that. You know, it is such an amazing dialogue, and that's where we see that how our ancestors were the most intelligent people. They were the most intelligent people. Nowadays, I get into a little bit of argument. You know, sometimes people say that the next generation which is coming is very smart. You know, they are really intelligent people. The way they grasp things, I still remain with that opinion that I don't agree with that. The reason is that is they are more dependent on the technology. They are not dependent on their own brain as such. Just to figure out how to operate mobile phone or to operate a computer is not something, a sign of intelligence. Huh? The sign of intelligence is you have to figure out, I'm sure the day will come where somebody asks 9 plus 7, and then that person has to really bring out his mobile phone and a calculator to do 9 plus 7 is 16. You know, the day is not far, right? Where we see at least our parents or grandparents, they had a palakha kind of thing. I don't know, that's called in Gujarati, where even the point thing is being calculated in their mind. You know, 0.25 into 0.75 is how much. You know, they know how to do these calculations. Right? So what is the sign of intelligence? So here we see the signs of the more we go earlier, they were more intelligent people. Right? And that is the reason we see that why these people did not do any discovery as such, right? The discovery is nothing but a sign of laziness, right? All the scientific inventions that we see is meant to make you more and more lazy. We were all active when the time of without those automatic gargantia or whatever, right? You have to do it with your hand. There is a washing machine nowadays, right? The people used to wash their clothes with their hands. And they were fit and fine. And nowadays there is a lot of shoulder pain and sciatica and whatnot. Even though in the all luxurious things that we have and all facilities that we have, right? So it's not that they did not know how to invent. They knew how to invent, but they said it's not required. Right? That's why they call it necessity is the mother of invention. The person who is lazy, it's a necessity for them to figure out those things, isn't it? So as we see in the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes an amazing purport, right? Of course, each and every purport is truly amazing. But the three things really comes out from this purport. Number one is Srila Prabhupada makes it very clear that Srimad Bhagavatam is definitely full of stories. But the most important thing here, asking this type of question from Parikshit Maharaj, Parikshit Maharaj establishes the philosophical base of Srimad Bhagavatam. Huh? Many a times we go and hear Bhagavat Sapta within 7 days. Right? What is that? Nothing but all stories. Right? And anybody who doesn't have read Srimad Bhagavatam on their own, they come back and they understand, oh, Bhagavatam is just stories. And they tend to believe when somebody comes at the mythology, oh, yeah, this all stories are like this and yeah, it's all mythology. But the little that they know, that first of all, these stories are histories, right? That means it has happened. And the second most important thing is there is so much philosophical understanding given in Srimad Bhagavatam. The whole material creation, how this whole universe came about is given in Srimad Bhagavatam. Huh? Now they need a sonography to figure that out, that what are the positions of the child and what the child goes through in the womb, right? But our Shastra Srimad Bhagavatam in the 3rd canto, 31st chapter, it describes the position of a child in the womb. In fact, it describes the mental position also of the child. Can you imagine? Such an amazing thing. Such an amazing thing, right? The Srimad Bhagavatam has. So it is very important. That's why Srila Prabhupada said that read Krishna book, but along with that, make sure once a year you read the teachings of Lord Kapila as well. And Srila Prabhupada is giving this instruction on his deathbed. So how important it is to have a philosophical base. Srila Prabhupada writes in Bhagavad Gita purport 3.3. Religion without philosophy is sentiment or mere fanaticism. And philosophy without religion is nothing but a mental speculation. What a beautiful statement. And Srimad Bhagavatam is nothing but a combination of a religion and a philosophy. Right? It gives a perfect thing to us. Right? And that's why in ISKCON we see that Srimad Bhagavatam is not 7 days. To complete Srimad Bhagavatam, it takes years and years and years to complete the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? And outside we see that Srimad Bhagavatam gets completed within 7 days. Thanks to Srila Prabhupada for starting this morning program. It's such a nourishing thing. Right? I was in the morning, I had to perform the Mangala Aarti. Right? And after that we have a dressing seva of the Lord. So you have to do a Bhuta Shuddhi and do your Gayatri. So there were about 5 to 7 minutes left, and I was like in a hurry to do my Gayatri, and my dear godbrother Radhika Raman Prabhu said, "Prabhu, it's okay. You should not do it in this kind of way of Gayatri." So how this association of the devotee is so amazing that most of the time I have a tendency, or I'm sure others may have a tendency, to get into mode of passion and ignorance. But the devotees pull us from that mode of passion and ignorance to the mode of goodness, which is very much required to understand the finer aspect of Srimad Bhagavatam. If you are in the mode of passion and ignorance, it is very impossible, I would say, to understand Srimad Bhagavatam. You may read the entire Bhagavatam within 6 months or 3 months for that matter, but will you really understand what exactly being given there? That's why Srimad Bhagavatam is very, very important. And here, Srila Prabhupada establishes the philosophical base of Srimad Bhagavatam. The second aspect that comes in the purport, and also in the verse itself, right? The million-dollar question, right? What is that million-dollar question? How did we come here? Why did I acquire this body? Why am I suffering because of this body? Isn't it? That's a very basic question everybody has. I think that's a very bold statement rather that everybody has, right? Because from the childhood we have been taught that you are this body. From the childhood we are given the name, we are given the designation and everything, right? You are the son of this, that, so many things. And by the unlimited cause or the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and Krishna, we come in contact with the devotees. And we got introduced to the GOSD course, the Journey of Self-Discovery. That is where we discover that we are not this body. Isn't it? And nicely the preacher, like, you know, makes us think, first of all. They doesn't tell you directly that, you know, you are not this body. They put, who am I? Right? And they ask you all these questions that, okay, what do you think who you are? And then you said, oh, I am a man, I am a woman, I am this, that. And then he explains that everything can be changed. Right? Even nowadays, even if you say I'm a man, that can also be changed. A woman can become a man. Your name can change. Everything can change. That means what is that cannot be changed. That is who you are actually. Isn't it? So that is what is explained in Journey of Self-Discovery course. And that's where it says, oh wow, that makes sense. That I am definitely not this body. I'm different from this body. And then they create a more confusion or rather enlighten us, saying that there is one more thing other than this body. There is another body within you. You have a subtle body as well. Right? And then ultimately they explain that you are the spirit soul. And once you understand that, and then you start asking questions, Prabhuji, oh, samajh gaya, I am spirit soul. But then you are saying, like, you know, we were in loving service of the Lord, then why did we come here?
Why did we come here? What makes Jiva come to this material world? The million-dollar question, why Jiva falls to this material world? And I heard Bhakti Charu Maharaj explaining so beautifully. So beautifully. So please hear carefully, okay? Because everyone had this question and there are so many other explanations, but I really like this explanation. Jiva falling down and acquiring the body, as we are talking about Parikshit Maharaj asking whether it is by accident or there is some cause for it, right? So we were in the spiritual world. Jiva was in the spiritual world, serving the Lord very nicely. But somehow or other, that Jiva, who was facing Krishna, turns away from Krishna. Why? Because of the free will. Without free will, there is no love. It's a free will. You cannot make somebody love forcibly. If there is a force, there is no love. The love has to be completely by free will, by one's choice. Right? Now here this Jiva turns away from Krishna. And the Jiva, as we know, is a minute part of the Lord. Right? Part and parcel of the Lord. So consider this Jiva as a single ray of sun. Sun God, right? It's a single ray. So what the single ray has? It can focus only on one point. Right? So either it can point to Krishna or it can point to external energy, Maya. So when it turns away from Krishna, it points to where? Maya. There is no in-between. Prabhupada also explains, there is no in-between. Either Krishna or Maya. There is no in-between. So now when Jiva focuses on Maya, what is Maya? External energy is an inferior energy of the Lord. The Lord has three energies. Internal energy, marginal energy and external energy. Now, marginal energy is who? The Jivas. The Jivas are the Tatastha energy. So, Tatastha energy is superior than the external energy, which is the inferior energy of the Lord. So far with me? Please listen very carefully. It will really amaze you how this is being explained by Bhakti Charu Maharaj. So now, Jiva, who is a marginal energy or Tatastha Shakti, who is superior to external energy. So as soon as his focus away from Krishna focuses on external energy and it comes in contact with external energy, then what happens? So any superior person comes in contact with inferior person, what happens? They try to exploit. It's a very basic nature or phenomena that we see in this world. Any superior thing come in contact with an inferior thing, try to exploit. We see the tiger, try to exploit the deer, whatever. It's a very simple phenomena. Even in the corporate world, we see everywhere. Any superior thing try to exploit the inferior thing in the material world. So as soon as the Jiva comes in contact or looks at the external energy, tries to exploit. In exploiting, what happens? He changes his position. As when the Jiva was looking at Krishna, he was in the mood of servant. And as soon as turn around and looked at the external energy, he tried to become a master. Right? Because he wants to exploit, so he has to become a master. And as soon as that bhav of master comes, that's the birth of a false ego. That's where the Jiva acquires false ego. Now, when you want to become a master, you need an intelligence how to exploit further. That's where the intelligence comes to play. So on false ego, you have an intelligence now. Right? So now the intelligence will help you exploit better. But you need options. Right? And that's where the mind comes into the play. So mind is the one which will provide you a lot of options. That's where the mind comes into the play. So that's makes the subtle body. That's how the Jiva acquires subtle body. As soon as it's turned away, becomes a master, false ego is there. False ego wants to enjoy. There is an intelligence has to be there. And on intelligence, there has to be options. So the mind is there. So that's how the subtle body is created. As soon as the subtle body is created, nature provides accordingly the physical body. As soon as the subtle body is acquired, the material body is provided by the nature. So that's how the Jiva becomes embodiment. And what is the cause? Cause is very simple. You just turn away from Krishna. And what is the remedy? So remedy is also given in this very purport. Srila Prabhupada says how to come out of this embodiment. What is the way to come out of this embodiment? Is to approach a spiritual master. Tad vidhi paripatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshantite jnanam jnanina tattva darshina. It is exactly being mentioned here, right? It is said, for it is known to you. Parikshit Maharaj is telling Sukadeva Goswami, you please explain it to me because it is known to you. Similarly, if we also want to get out of this body, not by dying, as a self-realization, right? If you want to realize, theoretically we understand I am not this body, thanks to Jeyavaji teacher. But if you want to realize that you are not this body, you want to have a self-realization, then you definitely have to approach a spiritual master. That is a process given. And how do you approach a spiritual master? That is also very, very important. Not like a fashion, oh, everyone also has a guru, I also want to have a guru. No. There has to be a genuine inquiry. In fact, Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, he's saying an amazing devotee like Parikshit Maharaj also had questions and inquired from Sukadeva Goswami. So you can imagine the level of Parikshit Maharaj. So what to speak of us? And he's so sincere about his inquiry. Right? And when you go to the spiritual master, what do you inquire? You don't inquire that, like, you know, where should I put my money? Whether it is in mutual fund or should I directly invest in the stock? Where to buy a house? You don't ask those kind of questions to spiritual master. Did Parikshit Maharaj ask Sukadeva Goswami that who do you think I should appoint as the successor of mine? Did he ask that question? No. He is asking how the spirit soul acquires a body. Is it by cause or is it by accident? So similarly, when we approach a spiritual master, we ask questions in relation to the spiritual position of the Lord and the living entity. That is what we inquire from them. And how do we inquire? Submissively. And not just inquire submissively, but also serve very sincerely. Serve humbly the spiritual master. And then they will reveal to you. And the spiritual master is also not like somebody who is resting under the tree and one day the apple fell and he figured out something. The spiritual masters are not like that. Right? What is that? I'm not against scientists. It's fantastic. Even Newton was also a believer of God. Right? But he discovered the Newton's law as we study in the early standards. But what happens? Does that remain throughout? There are new people come and they figure out even further into it. Because it's all coming as an ascending process. How will you figure that out? It is impossible. It is impossible. Nowadays we see a lot of artificial intelligence coming into the play. A lot of things happening around it. Right? And the day will come where it will be very difficult to deal with the machine. It's easy to deal with the human being. I don't know how many you get frustrated calling the customer service, specifically when you have an issue, right? There is some dispute in your credit card and you really want them to stop. It actually happened with me. there was some, somebody did the cyber crime with my credit card and, like, you know, the transaction was completely, has to be reversed. And I was calling them. They repeat the same thing. I said, please try to understand. He says, they go on repeating the same thing. I think, are you a machine or a human being? He said, no, sorry, sir, there is nothing that we can do. So can you imagine when this AI will become very prominent, at least aap wo human ko jaake gaali to de sakte ho, wo machine deke usko gaali deke bhi kya karoge aap? What will you do? Because it will not understand. Right? So in one sense, we are heading towards something which is scary in one sense. Of course, it has own benefits of AI and everything there. We are not discounting that. It's a wonderful thing to have. But at the same time, that's why they call it as a responsible usage of AI. There is a term is coming, right? Artificial intelligence. Now, coming back to the point of what is the qualification of the spiritual master? The spiritual master, as I explained, is not like a Newton, right? Who there is the apple fell and he figured out, oh, aha moment, right? Oh, wow, this is how the spirituality should be taught. No. The spiritual master himself was a sincere disciple of his spiritual master. He inquired from him, he acquired the knowledge, and that's how the parampara is very, very important. You don't inquire from somebody on the road, what do you think about this? No, you have to inquire from somebody who is really qualified. And that's why Srila Prabhupada writes a beautiful line towards the end of the purport. An amazing word that Srila Prabhupada used. He says, it is illegal for a spiritual... Let me just read it as it is. It's a wonderful line that Srila Prabhupada writes. Prabhupada writes, it is illegal to become a spiritual master if one is unable to deliver the disciple. Illegal. So how responsible this position is as a spiritual master? And a spiritual master is none other than a very sincere disciple. Right? That's how the parampara happens and that's how you acquire the knowledge. And there are so many incidents that we hear, even in the past times of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, where like, you know, the pure logician, the pure, the atheistic people or even impersonalist, like, you know, when they came in contact with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and I think one of the, I don't remember the name of that person, but he came and he had a very serious questions to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was busy. So all his disciples engaged this person into the service in washing the vessels. And when he did that and after that, he said, now you can go and meet him. He says, all my questions got answered. You know, so that's the power of serving the spiritual master. And many a time when we read this purpose from Bhagavad Gita, we feel that I need to serve my spiritual master personally. In my opinion, it doesn't have to be a... If you can, nothing like it. But if that facility is not there, then even if you serve his disciples, you will get the same benefit of directly serving. There are many Prabhupada disciples that are, like, who did not have the direct connection with Srila Prabhupada. Right? But they serve the disciples of Srila Prabhupada and they serve the mission of Srila Prabhupada. That's how they please Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada himself said that I was never separated from my Guru Maharaj. And Srila Prabhupada did not take sannyas while his Guru was alive, or rather on this planet. So all the sannyas disciples were having even the most close association of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. But Prabhupada happened to be more close to his Gurudev. Why? Because he took his words very seriously and served his Guru through his mission. So that is very, very important. And what Guru tells us, he gives us the process by which we realize ourselves. It's a very simple process that is even given by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. Chant attentively and do not offend anybody. And you can go back home, back to Godhead. Process is very simple. I like that Prahlad Priya Prabhu said that the practice makes men perfect, but that practice has to be right. If you are practicing the wrong thing, then you will never become perfect. Right? So here, there is no question of the practice being wrong. Right? Practice is simple given. Process, sorry. Not the practice. The process is given very simple. Right? Chant attentively and do not offend anybody. Simple, isn't it? But when it comes to put it in practice, that becomes difficult. It's obvious, right? Even the cricketers, to get to that perfection of their straight drive or whatever they want to call it, cover drive or whatever it is, it takes a hell lot of time for them. Hell lot of time. And it is just only a bat and a ball. Here you are dealing with your mind. We are talking about self-realization. So can you imagine how much practice is required and how much attention is required? Huh? So very simple thing, right? Just go back to that same example. If you want to master the straight drive, right? While practicing that, is he having a, like, you know, some television on the side
and seeing some serial going on there or some movies going on there? Or is he doing some WhatsApp check and doing a straight drive with one hand? Is he doing that? No. He's so focused. I still remember way back in my college, there was one person who wanted to become a cricketer. He used to come with one stump, and I was wondering, ek stump leke kyun aata hai? And then he goes and digs the stump in the ground, and with the one stump, he used to ball and try to, focus on that. So can you imagine, he's trying to perfect his practice so much. So similarly for us, the process is simple. But what happens? We do not follow it properly. I'll give you another example. I have a tennis elbow and I still have it. The reason for that is I did not follow the process given to me by my physiotherapist. He told me, or he showed me one exercise that I have to do it 4 times a day. I'm not doing it. For whatever reason, right? Because we feel it's such a simple exercise, or you forget or whatever it is, or maybe the pain is not that acute. Right? So we feel it's okay. But then, is your symptoms getting cured? No. I still have a pain. May not be acute, but I still have a pain. So does that mean the process is wrong? No, I am not following it. That is the problem. But most of the time, 90% of the people, what they do? They blame the process. Including myself. Itna easy mein thodi ho jayega aisa. Kuch alag hona chahiye. Aisa nahi ho sakta hai. So we blame the process and we leave the process. That is the problem. That is why Rupa Goswami said, Utsaha nishchayat and dhairyat. You have to have an enthusiasm, you have to have a determination, but at the same time you have to have a patience. Because without that, you will not reach the perfection. You will not reach the perfection. No matter how enthusiastic you are, how determined you are, you go on doing it. You said, 10 saal ho gaya, 15 saal ho gaya, 25 saal ho gaya, phir bhi kuch lagta nahi hai ki Bhagwan ke prati kuch prem aa raha hai, or I am realizing that I am not this body. But have you followed the practice? I go on offending people left, right and center. Process is given. Do not offend anyone. What to speak of devotees? Do not offend anyone. Was it said that do not offend devotees? He said do not offend anyone. Not is given. Chant attentively. When we chant, sometimes it happens with me all the time. I wonder round khatam kyun nahi ho raha, and I try to see the the main beat. Kitna baki hai abhi. And sometimes I wonder, khatam ho gaya itna jaldi? That means mind is everywhere else but on Krishna. And when we chant attentively, believe me, you see the benefit, at least on that day, isn't it? So what to speak of practicing attentive chanting? I am not doing it, and I sincerely seek your blessings that please, please bless me so that I can follow this process attentively. And when you do that, you see the results for yourself. So what to speak? When this attentive practice, the practice becomes perfect, then you can imagine what will happen to us. you'll be really floating, and you will be such an amazing consciousness that none of the things of this world can affect you. Huh? That's why Srila Prabhupada says that if you think that you are happy in this world, that is insanity. Only due to the mode of ignorance, you consider the unhappiness as happiness. That is our problem. And so much of a thick consciousness that we have is unbelievable. So that's why we need this particular process. It's very important. And when we are doing this, as I said, many people give up this process because they doubt the process. And Jiva Goswami explains very beautifully. Shraddha is very difficult to acquire. For Shraddha to be there, what has to be there? Everything has to be in its place. Everything has to be right. But for Ashraddha, a very little thing to be wrong. That's it. And Ashraddha is there. But for Shraddha, everything has to be perfect. And Ashraddha is very easy to get it. Just one little thing. That's why Srila Prabhupada says, doubts are like demons. has to be destroyed. And that's why one of the Prabhupada disciples was explaining when fifth canto came out in those early days, there was a description of the planets and everything else about the sun and everything, right? That is where we see quite a number of people left. And that's where Srila Prabhupada wanted his scientist disciples to create a nice understanding around this so that people understand even scientifically some of these things. So doubts are very, very demoniac and it has to be addressed. And S.B. Keshav Maharaj very beautifully, Swayam Bhagavan Keshav Maharaj beautifully explained, there are three ways you can deal with the doubts. One, discuss it. Second, delay it. And third, downplay it. Discuss, we all understand. What does it mean by delay? Sometimes a very difficult question like this, like, you know, how the jiva came to this world? How did it fall down? Because, you know, Bhagavan ka sath itna achha tha, toh hum log idhar kyun aa gaye? Right? And you may wonder, I'm not getting a satisfactory answer, so I'm leaving. No. Delay that thing. Put it in the box. Come back after some time. And your maturity or your understanding has matured. And then you open that box and you see that doubt is not there. So delay that doubt. And sometimes downplay it, right? Sometimes you see some devotee's behavior is maybe contradictory to what is being described. And you magnify that small thing, there are thousands and millions of devotees, right? And a one devotee you focus on, and you feel, oh, look at this devotee, like, you know, he's not up to the standard. And you leave the process. No, you have to downplay it. It's only one person. In the class of 60, everybody's not going to be first rank, right? So there may be somebody who's struggling. So you have to downplay your doubt. So that is how you take care of the doubts. That's very, very important. And this is what is Srila Prabhupada has explained in the purport very beautifully. Three things. Establish the philosophical base of Srimad Bhagavatam. Explain beautifully that how we are embodiment and what is the process to come out of this embodiment. Right? And today being the appearance day of Janava Devi, we'll speak briefly about Janava Devi. So, the elder brother of Gauridas Pandit, Suryadas Sarkela, had two daughters, Janava Devi and Vasudha. And he was discussing with his wife, Bhadravati, that look at our daughters. They are full of transcendental qualities. How will we find a qualified husband for them? And while he was worried about that, he went to sleep that night and he got a dream. And in the dream he saw Nityanand Prabhu sitting on a beautiful throne, and next to that throne, both Janava Devi and Vasudha were sitting next to him. And the marriage ceremony was being performed for Vasudha and Janava Devi with Nityanand Prabhu. And he got up in the morning in ecstasy, and he immediately told the Brahmana that please go and inform Nityanand Prabhu about this, and please give our proposal to Nityanand Prabhu that will he please marry to our daughters, Janava Devi and Vasudha. So Brahmana goes to Shiva's Angan, and over there all the devotees were there, including Shiva's Thakur, Advaita Acharya, and all the other Vaishnavas were there. And as soon as they heard this message from Brahmana, they all became jubilant. And looking at their happiness, Nityanand Prabhu immediately accept the proposal. And that's how Janava Devi marries to Nityananda Prabhu. And then Nityanand Prabhu gets settled into Kardaha. And we all know that how Nityanand Prabhu preached so extensively and so intense as well. And Janava Devi fully supported Nityanand Prabhu in all his preaching endeavors. But then the difficult time comes where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu leaves this planet. Nityanand Prabhu himself leaves, Advaita Acharya, and all these exalted Vaishnavas, they leave this planet. And there was practically a vacuum to lead the Vaishnava community. And that's where Janava Devi leads that entire community of Vaishnavas. And she was an amazing, amazing personality. She herself had a disciple. Even she had a brahmachari disciple, sannyas disciples, grahastha disciples, like that. So she was a very exalted devotee. And then the most amazing episode comes in the pastimes of Janava Devi is Keturi festival. Right? And I was fortunate enough, for whatever reason, I don't know what was my fortune, but we happened to witness a fraction of it when we all went to Kolhapur for the temple opening of Shri Shri Radha Madhav. It is such an amazing experience. What a arrangement that they have done for all the devotees from Chapati to welcome and everything else. They took care of all the devotees like anything. And all of us, like, you know, were wondering that it just like, you know, reliving the Kheturi festival probably, the way all the arrangements were made, right? So when the Kheturi festival was happening, in fact, they built the houses for devotees to come and stay. Brand new houses they made. They made like, you know, many kitchens to make a grand feast. There was a department for the guest reception and everything was amazing. And while the actual festival was happening, the kirtan was at its crescendo. And in that particular ecstatic kirtan, everyone saw Lord Chaitanya coming, Lord Nityananda coming, Advaita Acharya coming, and they saw Panchatattva dancing in ecstasy. So can you imagine the power of that kirtan, that not just the kirtanir who were completely absorbed, but even the audience, all the Vaishnavas assembled there, they could also witness Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu and everyone else. So that's the power of Janava Devi. That's the power of Janava Devi. And the next day, they celebrated the Holi festival, the most famous. And that's why we also hear, we play the Holi with deities. It's such a beautiful festival, very beautiful festival. And then the next day, when the devotees were leaving, Janava Devi herself cooked the feast and serving the devotees. And when she herself was leaving for Vrindavan, it was amazing that on the way, she travels by the village where all the Chandi worshippers were there. And they saw that, like, you know, so much of welcoming that Janava Devi was getting. Everyone was doing Jai Jaikar of her. So some of these envious people, they felt like, you know, is she considering herself to be the incarnation of Chandi Devi or what? Like, you know, she should be killed and things like that. So when they approached the Chandi Devi's temple and they were requesting and praying to Chandi Devi that you please, like, you know, destroy this lady who has come to our village. And then while they were asleep, Chandi Devi comes to their dream and chastises them and almost ready to kill them. But before killing, she says that, do you know who she is? She is my worshipable deity. She is my worshipable Lord. She is none other than the consort of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Nityananda Prabhu. And then she said, you go and surrender, otherwise I will kill you all immediately. So the next morning, they all go and surrender to Janava Devi. And like that, while she was going, I'll cut short because of the time. She further goes and even that gang of dacoits try to, like, you know, plunder their things. They also surrender because they saw Janava Devi's powers, like, you know, in terms of the spiritual powers, right? So they surrender. And then Janava Devi saw good in them that these people are determined because dacoits have a lot of determination, right? They are very greedy. So they engage their propensity in the service of the Lord. And they were so attached to Janava Devi, says, like, you know, we want to come with you to Vrindavan. And Janava Devi says, no, you stay here and you distribute the mercy that you receive from us, from me. You distribute to others, right? Like that she does. And then she reaches to Vrindavan and all these Brajvasis are very happy to see her. It was such an amazing thing. She herself personally served the deities of Gopinath, Govindji, Damodar, then Radha Raman. All these deities she personally cooked for them, made jewelry for them, made dresses for them. It was such an amazing thing. And then when she was in Kardaha, she knew that the deity of Radharani next to Gopinath is little small. So she thought, like, you know, I'll create a deity of Radharani. And she created the deity of Radharani, and that deity was brought to Vrindavan later on. And the small deity were taken to the right hand side of Gopinath, and this deity was put on the left hand side of Gopinath. And then when Janava Devi concluded her pastimes, she actually enters into the deity of Ananga Manjari. She was a small deity, which was actually the deity of Ananga Manjari. And she enters into the deity of Ananga Manjari, and that's how she concludes her pastime. So, Janava Devi ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.